From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What a day. What a day. Have you ever just had one of those days where you think to yourself, you know, I should have taken a mental health day today. Maybe that's what I should have done. I think today may be one of those days, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we have a lot of ground to cover. And, of course, the big story coming out of Washington today, the Epstein victims are speaking out. You've got a lot of lawmakers that are now calling for the Epstein files to be released. Marjorie Taylor Greene leading that charge. You've got Thomas Massie as well. The attorney general has gone sideways with Thomas Massie, or the attorney general, pardon me, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, has gone sideways with Thomas Massie. Massie, of course, wanting all the files released. And the Epstein survivors are speaking out on multiple platforms now. By the way, the NBC News had interviewed a bunch of these folks, these ladies, and they kept poking and prodding about Donald Trump. Did you see Trump do anything? Did you hear of Trump doing anything? Have you heard rumors of Trump doing anything inappropriate? And to a survivor, they said, no, never. No, we never have. So again, they're trying to force this Trump narrative when there is not a Trump narrative there. Now, is it possible that there could be people in these Epstein files that may or may not exist? Is it possible that that there could be people that are close to the president or might be connected to the president or you know, a business? I don't know. I mean, anything's possible, I suppose. But Thomas Massie is now forcing a vote on releasing all the Epstein files. And he's getting a lot of support from both Republicans and Democrats. Democrat Ro Khanna, Nancy Mace, Lauren Boebert, MTG. The testimony has just been traumatic. I think people coming out of this meeting have just been emotionally spent. So we can't even imagine what they've been telling and the stories they've been telling. But it just seems to me, and I've from day one, I've just been all about transparency, and I say we've got to release this information. It doesn't matter whose name is on that list. We need to know who are the people taking advantage of these young ladies, these young girls in some cases. Now, we also understand the survivors plan to compile their own list of abusers. One of them saying, we know the names. Many of us were abused by them. We will compile the names we all know were regularly in the Epstein world. So my question is, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think this is going away. Do you think we need to go ahead and just release the files? You know, they said they weren't there. And by the way, whatever happened to Pam Bondi, right? They were releasing all these files and information on everything from the Epsteins to MLK to JFK. To RFK Jr., they're not releasing anything. You know, Bongino, Cash Patel, all these guys, you know, they were out there saying, you know, they've got the list, they've seen the list. Where is all this information? And they really haven't helped the cause here, and they've really helped pour gasoline onto the conspiracy issues, if you will. So I say release it all. It should have already been done, and I'm not sure why we need an official vote from Congress. And I will say this, any Republican who does not vote to release those files could very well have a hard time getting reelected in the midterm elections. So I'm curious about it. Does this matter at all to you? Is this just something that needs to go away, or do we need to stop and address this human trafficking sex fiend? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. But it's getting messy, and it's only going to get messier. So sooner rather than later is what I say. And it's pretty shameful that we're having to go to this much trouble just to release this information. And again, just think about this for a moment. The only people they're protecting are the bad guys. That's it. That's the only people that are being protected here. The victims are speaking out. The White House, by the way, now says that any Republican signing the bill to release the Epstein files will be committing a hostile act against Trump. Do you believe that to be the case? I think this is really incredibly bad messaging coming out of the White House on this issue. President Trump campaigned on this, so you got to release it. You just got to do it. And yet it may be embarrassing for somebody. It's not going to be embarrassing for Trump. All of the survivors say he never did anything wrong. Trump's name, according to Ghislaine Maxwell, was never connected to any of this at all. Trump has absolutely nothing to do with this at all. So it's not Trump, which is why I just, you know, for the love of Almighty here, why is it the White House is choosing this hill to die on? It makes absolutely zero sense to me. But this is what they've decided to do, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll follow along here. This is heating up. It is absolutely heating up, and this is going to come to a head very soon. And you could have a bipartisan vote here. The problem for the Democrats, there are just as many Democrats involved in this as there are Republicans, if I was a guessing man. So anyway, curious to hear your thoughts. Is this a big deal? Do we need to stop and address this matter now and get it over with? Keep in mind, this could have been handled months ago, and this could have already been in the rearview mirror. But the Justice Department, under Pam Bondi, has completely fumbled the ball on this case. And it makes absolutely no sense why. None whatsoever. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phones here and say hello to Lee in Memphis, Tennessee. Lee, what say you?
I'm going to be honest with you. I feel they shouldn't release it because there's a lot of things in there. I'm pretty sure that a lot of people can't handle the truth. But I tell you, if they do release, I hope they give some of these people some immunity so they could be charged, because this thing is so deep, man. We're talking about the king and the prince all over there in England. It's worldwide. So I don't think a lot of people can handle the truth, sir. It'll be chaos everywhere.
You think so, Lee? You don't think people can say, wow, okay, well, the prince, Prince Andrew, wow, he did this? Off with his head.
Well, I feel they just, the people that are all involved, some of them need to just come forward and have some type of immunity so they can come forward. You know, the corporations out here, you know, they will be closed down, and it's just crazy, man. It'll be a worldwide panic if they do that, man. That's just my opinion about it, and I don't think the world can handle it.
All right, Lee, I hope you're wrong. I really do, because it just seems to me, if you've done something of this nature, I don't care who you are, you go to jail, you get the toughest penalty under the law, and just – that's why, from day one, I've said release everything and let the chips fall where they may.
I disagree because, you know, it's like I say, it's just going to be more chaos. And I think it needs to be, you know, some people in power know who they are. They know who they are. Just tell them to stop it. You know, that's the way I look. Don't let it just get out like that because, man, there's going to be a lot of crazy stuff going on. That stuff get out. I'm just saying, I don't think it's best for society, the public to know this stuff, man. It's deep.
You know, Bill Clinton was apparently on the list a number of times. He was a frequent visitor.
Well, think about all of them. President Trump, President Obama.
No, but Trump wasn't there. Trump wasn't on the list. That's the great, that's the greatest scandal here is that they tried as hard as they could to connect Trump. He was never on any of the list, never on any of the files. Ghislaine Maxwell, who was basically the madam, said that Trump was never involved. And all of the survivors yesterday said Trump was never involved.
I agree on that. I was just throwing it out there.
Oh, no, no, no. I hear you. I hear you. But you know how it is, yeah. Lee. You've got liberals out there, and they'll hear that the wrong way.
Well,
Lee,
you know.
Lee, you're a good man. I just think there ought to be hell to pay for people who have done this to these young girls.
I agree. I mean, humanity, the way things went down. Look, sometimes situations, you have to look at it from a necessary evil. And I don't think it needs to get out to the public.
All right.
That's the way I feel.
Lee, so maybe it can be done covertly. You know, get all these guys on the same airplane. Oopsie, what happened? Where's the plane? Let's go to Tim in Georgia. All right, Tim, what say you?
I say we have accountability. It's in the law, it's in the Bible. And accountability or the lack thereof is what's got this country, this nation in the shape it's in. People not being held accountable. From the criminal on the street to the politician in the White House. Let's have some accountability.
Yeah, I think that's it's a pretty simple thing in my book, Tim, and just shine the light and watch the cockroaches scramble.
Step out from behind the curtain.
That's it. Yeah, Tim, I think you're absolutely right. Tim, thank you for calling in. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Friends, I want to tell you about a new movie. It's called Sketch, and it's the latest from our good friends over at Angel Studios, the folks who are committed to bringing faith-based, family-friendly entertainment back to the big screen. Now, this one's a real treat. Sketch is imaginative, heartwarming, and just plain fun. Picture Stranger Things meets Inside Out, only clean, uplifting, and packed with values you can actually feel good about sharing with your kids. It's the story of a little girl whose sketchbook falls into a mysterious pond, and suddenly all her drawings come to life. It's got excitement, a little suspense, and a whole lot of laughs. If you're already a premium Angel Guild member, your two free tickets to Sketch are ready and waiting. If you're not, well, now's the time. Sign up today and see Sketch in theaters starting August 6th. Plus, you'll get access to Angel Studios' entire streaming library, content that reflects your values, honors your faith, and uplifts your family. If you're tired of the junk Hollywood keeps churning out and you're ready to support movies that are wholesome, meaningful, and made with heart, head over to angel.com/starns and become a premium Angel Guild member today. Well, President Trump meeting with the President of Poland today at the White House. I wonder if President Trump gave him the same swag I got, which was pretty cool swag, by the way. President Trump doing the Q&A, and this is really remarkable. The president says that the tariffs have been so successful that the tariffs could actually replace the federal income tax. So, Dylan, I've got a question for you. So you're a pretty young guy. What are you, 26 now?
26, yeah.
All right, getting old.
Oh, don't say that.
All right. So when you got your first paycheck, you worked at what was your first job? Were you a grocery store? You bagged groceries.
Yeah. Technically, if you want to go technical, I was a grass mower.
But did you file taxes as a grass mower?
Yeah. So,
or was that off the books?
I was a bagger. That was my first official paycheck job.
So you get the paycheck and you're excited. What was your hourly wage? I'm asking a lot of probing questions.
I think it was like $8 an hour.
$8 an hour?
Yeah.
All right. So you're making $8 an hour bagging the groceries. Do you get tips?
You do get a lot of tips. All right, well, if you take them out for the old ladies, take the groceries out.
For the old ladies.
You'll get a dollar or two.
All right. You got to compliment them.
You too.
Well, that's a lovely fragrance, ma'am. Mm. What is that, lavender? So I
mothballs.
That's cruel. Good Lord, man.
They were very sweet.
So Dylan's bagging groceries for the old broads, complimenting them on their mothballs. Jeez, Aloo. So anyway, you get your first check and you're thinking, holy cow, I'm going to be living large. I'm heading down to Zaxby's and I'm going to order extra chicken tenders. And then you get that paycheck and you're like, wait a second. What's all this other stuff on here? Why are they taking money out of my paycheck?
Yes.
Those are your federal income taxes, my friend.
The day I found that out was probably the worst day ever.
Probably the day you thought about becoming a Republican.
Exactly. I was living in Mississippi, though, at the time, so we didn't have the state, you know, income tax.
But they do now.
They do now.
So there you have it. President Trump, so all that to say, a lot of people are really frustrated because of the amount of money the federal government takes out of your paycheck. So Trump is saying, and this is a great point, that we have not always had an income tax. That happened, what was it, right before the Great Depression. If you go back to 1913, the president said, we were the richest country ever from 1850, all tariffs, no income taxes, to 1913. Then along came the income tax, and guess what happened after that? The Great Depression. So the president is making the connection here that if we do away with the income tax, we are going to have greatness in America. I want to meet the person who's going to have a problem with doing away with the income tax. I want to meet that person. Introduce me to that moron. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So anyway, glad to hear the president talking about this. And, you know, the thing about Donald Trump is this is a man who knows his history. He is a very smart man. He's a businessman, and he wants everybody to be able to live their American dream. And I think, by and large, everybody except the mainstream media and the soy boys and the magenta-haired Subaru drivers get that. Everybody else gets it in America. When you go around to these university campuses, as a matter of fact, I will say this, there's a school where we have relatives attending, and they posted photographs of me with the president, and nearly half the school now follows me on the socials. That might be a slight exaggeration, but I'm telling you that the young people of America are drawn to Donald Trump, not because he's a cool guy. I mean, he's pretty darn cool, but it's because they know that he wants the best for them. And they see a man who works hard. You want to know why Donald Trump is so successful? Is he works around the clock. And not everybody's built like that. This guy doesn't clock in. He doesn't work a 9-to-5 job. He never has. And that's what makes Donald Trump so successful, is he goes above and he goes beyond. And he's always focusing on the little things. Because when you focus on the little things, the little issues, then the big issues take care of themselves. And that's who Donald Trump is. And I think that's one of the reasons why so many young people, that's what they see in Donald Trump, and they want that. They want that sort of success. They want to be able to live in a nice place like Mar-a-Lago. They want to have a beautiful wife like Melania Trump. They want to have kids that actually love their dad. And by the way, that's another thing. When you look at Donald Trump, his kids love him. All of them do. And all of them look very normal. They've all been very successful. They've married very successful people. And they're producing very beautiful grandchildren. That tells you that Donald Trump is doing something right. All right, hang tight. Hang tight. We've got to take a break. We're going to your phone calls. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, the Texas Attorney General, he wants kids to start reciting the Lord's Prayer. I think that's a great idea. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. All right, welcome back. Let's go to the phone lines here. Clear Lake City, Texas. Mike is listening to us on Patriot Talk 920 today. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind?
Well, I had a different take on this, but before I get to my take, a problem I'm having. I have you on speed dial, I have Rob Carson on speed dial, and I have Chris Salcedo on speed dial. And I tried repeatedly to get through on your number, and it immediately went to call failed. So then I tried Rob, same thing. Then I tried Chris, same thing. But it only does that to radio hosts that I have in my contact list.
Yeah, I can't help you. I'm not familiar with Rob Carson. I know Salcedo, so sorry, I can't help you there. But you got through, though, and that's the good news is that you're on the radio, Mike.
Yeah, I had to go in the house, though, and use my house phone. What I'm saying is, all three hosts immediately goes to
okay.
Call failed.
Well, you know what? Let's put Mike on hold, and we'll get all that sorted out, and hopefully we can get around to talking about what Mike wanted to talk about. Folks, do me a favor. When you're calling into the show, let's make sure that you stick to the topic. We have a lot of folks wanting to weigh in, and we want to keep the conversation flowing. All right? I want to turn our attention to the Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton. I like Ken Paxton. He's a great patriot, and Ken Paxton gets it. I've had a chance to spend some time with him. We've had dinner together in Dallas, and just a good guy. And man, the left and the rhinos love going after Ken Paxton. So the attorney general issued a statement, and he wants every school in Texas. To implement a dedicated time for prayer and the reading of Scripture. So all of this ties into a Senate bill that was enacted on September 1st, Senate Bill 11. And that allows school boards to adopt policies to set aside time for voluntary prayer and Bible reading or, you know, these other religious books. And the Attorney General says that he wants the Word of God opened, the Ten Commandments displayed, and prayers lifted up in all Texas classrooms. The Attorney General put out a statement saying, "Twisted radical liberals want to erase truth, dismantle the solid foundation that America's success and strength were built upon, and erode the moral fabric of our society. Our nation was founded on the rock of biblical truth, and I will not stand by while the far left attempts to push our country into the sinking sand." I love this idea here. You know, I don't know about you, but I remember when I was a kid growing up, we used to have the Ten Commandments posted in our classrooms. As a matter of fact, the Gideons would show up, the businessmen who give out the Bibles. The Gideons would show up, and they would give all the children, all of us godless heathen kids, give us a little Bible. I think it had what, the New Testament and the Psalms and the Proverbs, if I recall correctly. Dylan, were they still doing that in Mississippi when you were in grade school?
They were, and I think they stopped just after I got out of high school.
Well, you know, a lot of them are banned.
Yep.
They'll allow the sex predators in the classrooms and the pronoun confused people, but the Christian businessmen wanting to hand out Bibles, they got to stand on the sidewalks. Wow. It says a lot about morality in this country, doesn't it, ladies and gentlemen? By the way, the Attorney General also saying this, that he will defend any school district or charter school that adopts the policy. Because you know what's going to happen. These little godless heathens out of Wisconsin, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, you know they're going to file lawsuits. And they love targeting these tiny little school districts. Well, the Attorney General says, we're not going to let the out-of-town atheists do that. We're going to stand up and we're going to fight for you. Man, I love this guy. The Attorney General also, this is great. I'm going to read the exact quote. The Attorney General also encourages children to, quote, begin with the Lord's Prayer as taught by Jesus Christ. No better teacher than that, kids. And, they use the they're using they're pulling out the KJV, the King James Version, baby. Our Father, which art in heaven. You know what's interesting about this? There are all these newfangled translations out there. And one of them really freaked me out because instead of saying our Father, which art in heaven, it started out with our daddy who's in heaven. I'm like, wait, what?
Is that the message? The Message Bible?
I don't think that message was not delivered. I'm not too sure about that. It was like, you know, I'm trying to remember how the prayer went. Our daddy who art in heaven, your name be cool or something. It was like really something weird. And you're like, I don't think that's how that prayer goes. And what was it? Forgive us. Now, some people say forgive us of our, well, they say debts as we forgive our debtors. I got to be honest with you. I have trouble with that one as a business owner. Give me my money. But other versions say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Which, by the way, Dylan, we had a trespasser in the building or outside the building.
I heard. I'm glad he didn't have keys.
No, but he left a little present outside.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that later. That's inappropriate for the lunchtime crowd. So anyway, I love this idea. I know there are going to be people out there who are going to be freaking out about this, but I'm going to throw this idea out, and I'm just curious what you think about it. And hear me on this: is it possible? Is it just remotely possible that most of the problems we're dealing with in this country are a direct result of removing God and religion and morality out of our classrooms? And I'm not even saying, I'm saying all of our classrooms, because I suspect there are some parochial schools even that have gone a little squirrely woke on us. And I mean, when you look at our generations, especially those of us that are Gen Xers, we had a pretty decent high school upbringing. We were demons, but we weren't demonic. But now, when you see the kids coming out of school, you're like, holy crap, what has happened here? So I'm just wondering if maybe the Attorney General of Texas is onto something. And maybe if we start emphasizing the importance of prayer and going to church and reading your Bible and understanding the Ten Commandments and that one about not killing people or not coveting, you know, the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. Oh, we can't. Wait a second. That's not what that's. Sorry. I misread that. That's a new version of the Bible. Not coveting your neighbor's, you know, stuff. Then maybe, just maybe, we might be a better country. I mean, it couldn't hurt, right? I mean, how could it possibly? Just, and hear me on this. Making the kids read the Ten Commandments and the Bible and praying, how does that make the country worse? Help me understand that. We took all that away and all hell broke loose. So if we put it back, theoretically, that would mean we might be on the course to correcting a lot of this. 901-260-5926. The atheists are going to be enraged, and the Democrats. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Oh, let me tell you, we've got a great show for you tonight on Newsmax. A lot of fun guests. We're going to be talking to Senator Roger Marshall out of Kansas. Also, Congressman Mark Harris is going to be joining us. By the way, Newsmax has gone public. We're on the New York Stock Exchange, and I want you to consider picking up some Newsmax shares. You can do that by going to NewsmaxInvest.com. Again, that's NewsmaxInvest.com. And let me tell you something. Newsmax is running and gunning, and we've got millions of people that are joining our news revolution. We are now the fourth highest-rated news channel just behind CNN. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the country. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for all sorts of great programming, including the Todd Stearns Show. So you can download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. Start watching right now. Get that free Newsmax app, NewsmaxInvest.com. Again, that's NewsmaxInvest.com.
Progressive knows we all crave validation.
Girl, you are not 37.
I would have guessed 27.
You guys are too sweet.
Sure. Dewy skin.
Terrific. Is something wrong, Ned?
Why would you ask? Just because today marks my 10th anniversary without a car accident or even a speeding ticket? But somehow, tonight's all about your skincare.
Wow. With Snapshot from Progressive, you can get a personalized rate based on how you drive. And that's all the validation you need. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California from all agents. Surcharge possible for unsafe driving.
All right. Elon Musk. We have some Elon news. Wow, he sort of like just disappeared, right? Nobody talks about Elon anymore. So he's got this transgender daughter, Vivian. Help me understand here. Is Vivian a dude or I don't know. I'm just, you know what it is, folks? It's going to be 98 degrees. We just got finished with fake fall here in the South. And so now we're back to, you know, scorching hot summer, and it's just exhausting. And all I can tell you is, I don't know. Anyway, Elon's child, pronouns, who knows? She's now saying that she is broke and has to live with three roommates. And it turns out that the reason why is that she told her father, this is a dude. Yeah, sorry, I just saw the photograph. Yeah, he's an ugly chick. So anyway, this is the eldest of Elon's 14 children. Man, he's going for Duggar status. And she said that let me back up. He said that he didn't want any of his daddy's money. Well, okay, that explains why you're broke living with three more roommates, you moron. What's wrong with you? These kids, you just can't teach them anything these days. All right, I think we've got Mike back from Texas, Patriot Talk 920, wants to talk about Epstein. All right, Mike, what's going on?
Well, my take on the whole Epstein thing is the files to me are irrelevant. Why doesn't any investigative news journalist interview the victims? They can tell you straight up who they slept with. I mean, for decades, we had to deal with the Natalie Holloway investigation. We're still dealing with JonBenet Ramsey, but no one wants to get to the bottom of the Epstein victims.
Wow, JonBenet. I haven't heard that name in ages. But it's a fair point. I mean, we still don't know to this day who did that. I don't have a problem with that, Mike. And I think they actually are going to release a list. The victims are. The only thing is, and you know how this goes, and I'm not casting any sort of dispersions on these young ladies, what they have been through. But what if they get a name wrong? And that's the reason why I think we need to see the files, because at least then we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that these people did what they are accused of doing.
Well, I agree with you there, but my point was just get it straight from the horse's mouth. They can tell you exactly who they slept with. And another name I'll throw out at you is Seth Rich. No one wants to get to the bottom of the Seth Rich murder.
That one is so suspect, Mike. And I even from the day that the murder was announced, something just didn't set right with me about that. And you're right. It's very clear there's a lot more to that story.
Well, it just intrigues me how these investigative news journalists pick and choose what they want to get to the bottom of.
Or they're being told what they can. get to the bottom.
Exactly.
I think that's the bigger issue. All right. Well, Mike, it's a great thought you have, and I always appreciate you calling in. Give us a holler back, and hope that phone situation gets worked out. Jeez, Alou. 901-260-5926. I don't know why this story just really got to me, but I just love this story. It's out of Jacksonville, Florida. A little 5-year-old kid wakes up like at the crack of dawn. And you know what the kid was thinking? I got to have me some chicken minis. So the kid gets up, this 5-year-old gets up, and he walks to Chick-fil-A for breakfast while the parents are still sleeping. Take a listen to what happened.
We arrived on scene.
Hello.
Hello.
And as we walked in, we see a little kid sitting at the table eating his breakfast with one of the managers.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, look at that.
We asked where he came from, and he kept saying he walked to Chick-fil-A.
You know where your house is, right, honey?
It's right across the street, right over there.
Okay, cool.
I have children, and, you know, the first thing, you know, you get that knot in your stomach because, you know, somebody else who's a parent is missing their child.
Are you going to show us where you live?
Yeah.
Okay. We gathered him up. Look at that.
Say thank you.
California.
I walked him to the back of my patrol car.
Are you going to get me in jail?
No, I'm not going to put you in jail. And we started checking the area.
All right, buddy, where's your house at?
We were wondering, where did this child come from?
Is it right here?
None of these doors are open. None of these garages are open.
I don't live in
So then he explained that he had a white fence.
That's where it is.
Right here?
Yeah.
And that's when we pulled up in the driveway. And then we realized that the call box wasn't working. We had no way to get through the gate.
How about this? My initial thoughts were, I can't believe he came out of here. It's the most secure house on that block in reference to having a fence all the way around, front, back, sides.
Please.
I'm Phil.
I'm Victoria.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, do you have a son named Liam?
William.
Yeah, a little boy?
Yeah.
Our 5-year-old William had an adventure a few weeks ago, and we live nearby very close.
Yeah, he was down at the Chick-fil-A.
Are you kidding me?
No, we have him in our police car. You want to come get him?
You could just see the look on his face. It would be for any parent, including myself. It's disbelief.
It's kind of scary, actually, because we didn't realize what was going on until after we came out.
Do you have any idea how he got out?
Yeah, he got unlocked the front door, but he's never done that.
I was worried about him because was he scared? Was he crying? Was he upset?
Come on, little man.
He was quiet, which is unusual for him.
Oh, my God. He is scared.
Why did you go to Chick-fil-A?
You're welcome.
I think it did shake him up some, so I don't think we really needed to, you know, impress too much that you shouldn't do it again, things like that. I think he understood that it was serious, but we did talk about it.
He said he opened the gate and couldn't find y'all and went down the street.
I know he knows how to get to Chick-fil-A because we walked there. I would have never expected him to come down here on his own in the morning before anybody else in the house was up.
Good morning. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Sir, good to see you again.
How are you, sir?
Thank you. We're good.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, dude. You remember us?
Hi.
Oh, are these for me? Well, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Oh, man. I can't wait. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Here.
Oh. All right. Wow. What a great story. And it's just, I mean, you've all been there as parents, right? Where your kid just kind of wanders. Sometimes the kids just wander off. Everybody here did the right thing. And I think that's what I love about it. The Chick-fil-A, they called, and the kid, by the way, had money. How did the kid get the money for the Chick-fil-A? Anyway, at the end, they reunited at the Chick-fil-A, and the family bought the police officers lunch. And again, I just thought that was a very kind-hearted thing. But when you see the house, it's a beautiful home. And this thing, it's secure. Everybody was trying to figure out, how did the kid get out of the compound? But apparently, they just, the kid just, you know, like the mom said, we would walk to Chick-fil-A. And so the kid just, you know, did what he was trained to do.
It's better than, like, a rebellious kid that's trying to run away. That, like, packs his bags. Like, I'm going to run away. Like, this seems like just a genuinely curious kid that wanted Chick-fil-A.
Kid was going to kick back after a cup of coffee, hang out with the old-timers, and then head back home to mom for cereal.
Checking into work.
They're going to have problems with that kid when he gets older. They're going to have to put a leash on that one. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I got a question for you. Do you watch Fox News Channel or do you watch Newsmax? What is your go-to source of news and information on cable television these days? Is it Fox or Newsmax? I mean, predominantly. I mean, some people go to, One America News, a few other conservative channels out there. But the two big dogs are Fox and Newsmax. I've actually worked for both. I currently work for Newsmax, host a show there. Worked at Fox News Channel for 15 years. You know, I had a great time there. No major issues at all. And at the end of the day, the contract negotiations were really about money more so than anything else. So, and you know, it is what it is. I mean, if you're able to be at a network, at the network level, for over 2 years, you've had a great run. For me, I was there 15 years, had a pretty incredible ride. And now working, 3 years, at Newsmax. So anyway, the reason I ask that, there is a huge story that has just developed. Newsmax has filed a federal lawsuit against Fox News Channel, accusing Fox of acting as a monopoly and suppressing right-leaning competitors. Now, the lawsuit filed in Southern California, and that's where Newsmax headquarters is, they allege that Fox has sought to protect and expand its monopoly power in the pay TV news market by engaging in a suite of anti-competitive behaviors. But for Fox's anti-competitive behavior, Newsmax would have achieved greater pay TV distribution, seen its audience and ratings grow sooner, gained earlier critical mass for major advertisers, and become overall a more valuable media property. So they're basically alleging that Fox News Channel has done things behind the scenes to squelch all competition, and they they're the 800-pound gorilla in the cable television world. No doubt about that. A Fox News spokesperson, actually it's a spokes babe, I know exactly who this is, replied with the following statement. Newsmax cannot sue their way out of their own competitive failures in the marketplace to chase headlines simply because they can't attract viewers. Well, that's a little sleazy, but not surprising. I will say this, and this is something that other people at Newsmax have noticed, that we will break news and break stories on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax, and the next day or the day after that, those same stories will then appear on Fox. So clearly, we have some Fox News viewers in the 5 o'clock hour watching the Todd Stern Show. And I love that. I think that's pretty awesome. I'm glad they do. So we'll see how the lawsuit transpires. But basically what they're alleging is that Fox is doing things and maybe making threats to advertisers that, hey, if you advertise on Newsmax, you're done here. Or the allegations may be that even with Guest, and I do know this, they play hardball with Guest. And I've been told by people that, Todd, we would love to be on your show, but, you know, if we do your show, we're going to be blacklisted over at Fox. And that's the way the game is played. Let me tell you something. Cable television is ruthless. I mean ruthless. So Newsmax wants the judge to issue a permanent injunction barring Fox's exclusionary agreements. And we'll see how all this plays out here. But I say good for Newsmax, because everybody knows what Fox is doing. And you know what? If you're the number one cable channel, you're going to do exactly what Fox is doing. And if you are the up-and-comer, which is what Newsmax is, you're going to do exactly what they're doing right now. And I think Newsmax wants a fair playing field, but this is cable television, and there is no fairness. You've got to fight, and I can tell you what, we fight every single day on our TV show. We always want to bring the very best to you on the radio and also on TV. And I'll also say this. I mean, there is an authenticity factor. I know from my years at Fox, I'm not going to name names. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that, Dylan. I can't do that. I can't out people. But I will say that people caught on pretty quickly to the fact that people of faith, the good church-going people of places like Nebraska and Iowa and Kansas, they all watch Fox News, right? And they're under the impression that all of these people that work at Fox are fellow Lutherans or Baptist or Methodist. And that is the farthest thing from reality. And they would think there's a large swath of the viewing audience, and these are decent church-going, you know, little Sunday school teachers, and they're out there, and they think that all of the Fox crowd, they go to church on Sunday, and they abstain from alcohol and the nudie bars and all of that. Well, that was a bit of a stretch, wasn't it? I'm part, it was a big leap from sweet tea to nudie bars, but you get what I'm saying. Dylan's like, no, I don't get what you're saying. I'm saying is that it's not exactly like the little whorehouse of Texas over at Fox News headquarters, but it's a secular place of business. So when you see people on air and you, I can't do this. Dylan, you got to stop me. I'm getting myself in trouble here. Let me say this. There are a good many people that you see on air, and they'll just be having a conversation. And here we go. I'm going to pretend to read a news story, all right? And this, you've seen this happen, so you know what I'm talking about here on Fox. There's just an authenticity thing, right? And so somebody in management somewhere told them, hey, look, we got a lot of Christian people that watch Fox News, so we need you guys to, like, you know, watch your language, do something with the skirt, and act like you go to church. You got to connect. And so this is how it, hold on, where is, I've got to find a good story to talk. Oh, here we go. We'll bring back Elon's transgender son, the ugly woman. Here we go. All right, so we'll be right. Hello, this is Todd Stearns from Fox News. Elon Musk's estranged transgender daughter, Vivian Wilson, has insisted she's broke after publicly cutting ties with the world's richest dad, opting to live with three roommates because it's cheaper. You know, I was talking about this with my pastor yesterday. You know, I love Jesus so much. Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I was reading about, you see what I'm saying? It's just like out of the blue. It's like, wait, what? We were talking about Elon Musk, and now we're talking about Jesus? What? It's just sort of weird and off-putting, and it's not authentic. And I think a lot of people see that, and I think that's one of the things. When you watch Newsmax, you get authenticity. I mean, what you see is what you get. They can only slap so much makeup on this face. I mean, what you see is what you get. And people respect that. And that's one of the things in this cable television world is that, you know, they think that unless you've stepped off the pages of a fashion magazine, that somehow you are not going to be appealing to the viewers. But the viewers, they care part about that. I mean, you don't want to have to be looking at somebody ugly all the time, right? But you've got to have some substance there. You also have to be authentic. And I think people can tell when they're being fed a load. And ultimately, I think that's where Fox got a little squirrely, is that people are faking it. They're pretending to be something they're not. That's why when the Cracker Barrel story broke, I knew exactly who had not been to Cracker Barrel based on their descriptions of the restaurant. So, again, it's you're not fool, and that's the thing. They're not fooling people, right? Which is why so many people have left Fox and they've joined Newsmax. That's it. It's an authenticity problem. That's all it is. And somebody in the talent development pool over there needs to tell people to knock it off. You know, people look, I mean, they think they can put somebody in a skirt that is right. I mean, it barely covers the wazoo, and boom, you're going to have a number one show. And maybe that's the case. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, it's really weird. I'll never forget, had a very, very popular, famous on-air person, and they knew that I had been invited to a very large and well-respected church. And they asked me for some, they asked to see me one. I said, sure, come on by. They've never wanted to come by before. They never invited me out for coffee, but I'm like, oh, sure, come on by. And they said, you're speaking at this church here. And I said, yes, I am. And honestly, this is exactly what they said. How do you get in on that gig? How do you get in on that gig? I'm like, well, it kind of helps if you're like, I don't know, a Christian, maybe? What are you talking about, a gig? I said, it's church, sharing a testimony. What's a testimony? What are you testifying about? I'm testifying about, I don't know, a lawsuit. Really? You're asking me? I was dumbfounded. But for them, it wasn't about, oh, you get to fellowship and be around other believers and you get to share your testimony about what God is doing in your life. No, for them, it's about getting a gig. So, is there a lot of pay? Do they pay good money? By the way, may I answer that question? Because a lot of people do ask me about my speaking engagements. And, you know, if it's a political event or if it's a business or whatever, yeah, we do charge and we go through a speakers bureau and all that kind of, and they do a great job. But when it comes to churches, I told our speakers bureau, I said, we don't charge for churches. If a church wants me to come and speak or be a part of whatever and I'm available and they want to, you know, fly me out or pay for my gas or my hotel, I'm honored to be able to do that. But we don't take money from church. That's not what we do here. We don't do that. Just thought you ought to know that because, you know, and again, I don't judge anybody. That's just how we do things. And my staff, I had to just lay down the law on that one issue. So anyway, all that to say, I think it's about authenticity. And people are seeing that. They see, when they watch Newsmax, they see the early days of Fox News. They don't see what it's become now, which is no doubt they've been hugely successful. And again, I had a great time at Fox. Loved it. So I'm curious, where do you get your news from? And do you see that authenticity issue that I was talking about? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
When you bundle renters and auto with Progressive, you can save while protecting your most valuable possessions, like your priceless vinyl collection. Sure, you sleep on a futon because the money most people would have spent on a bed you spent on more records. But forget the fact that you can stream just about any song ever created for a few dollars a month. No, no, you need to listen to music in the most difficult way possible. So go ahead and get Progressive so you can save while protecting the things that matter to you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Todd, that kid took off to Chick-fil-A with all these damn pedophiles out here. He's got to be very fortunate that nothing happened to him. Secondly, you better be glad he wasn't in California because somebody would have snatched him up, one of these transgenders, and tried to convert him. You know, I just want to throw that out there.
Oh, wow. Okay, didn't expect that. Thank you, Mark from the Villages. Jeez, Alou. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. John in Kentucky. Hey, John, what's going on?
Hey there, Todd. I always call you Mr. Starnes, but this time we're sitting on the French Fork, so I'm going to call you Todd. You know, you're talking about what news I listen to. I listen to Newsmax, But do you realize my being turned on to the conservative idea and the Christian value thing was when I first came and listened to you on Fox News? I know you're a humble man, but the one thing I knew that you were genuine was you called me out on something on the air, and you did it in such a way that it was loving, and at that point, you gained a fan for life. And I did not like the way that they treated you on Fox, and that's how come the ratings have gone down. I sincerely believe that. You stick to your values in Jesus Christ. You speak the truth, and when you tell the audience, listen, if you don't believe me, here's the sources. It's not my job. It's my job to give you the truth, but it's up to you, just like Paul told the Bereans. Yes, you can accept it, but then I expect you to go and study the facts. And that's all you've ever done, Todd. That's how come you have such a large viewing audience. That's why Fox News is losing its audience. When you went to Newsmax, you took a lot of Fox News viewers to the show. Again, I know you're humble, Todd, but you give us a voice. A lot of times these guys won't let us get on the air and speak, but you do. You listen to us. You have a heart. And I can tell you get emotional sometimes, but you keep it at a professional level. But that's why you are loved and appreciated. And that's why God knows your heart. Like you said to David, I want a man after my own heart. We are all frail. We are all broken. But the one thing you do is you speak the truth and you speak your heart, even interjected with a lot of crazy humor. I love you, Todd. I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, John, thank you. Thank you for those very kind words. And that just means a lot. You know, one of the things, and again, I keep saying this over and over again. I don't mean to repeat myself, and I know I'm repeating myself. But I had a great time at Fox News, and I don't blame them for what they did. I do think it's really funny, though, that they lost hundreds of affiliates on the radio side, hundreds, because people were buying into what we were talking about and not necessarily the brand, the Fox brand. You know, that and that was a big mistake, and They figured it out pretty quickly, and then they played hardball with their remaining radio affiliates and said, hey, look, if you drop Starnes or if you take Starnes, we're not going to give you our 5-minute news service. And look, I would have done the same thing if I was at the network level. So that's why I can't really begrudge them. So I understand it. And it's also, this is the way it works in you know, the radio business. But all I can say is thank the good Lord that so many radio stations joined us in this effort. You know, we've been doing this for 5 years now, solo, as the independent. We're the only independent noon to three radio show in America right now. All the others have the big corporate radio stations, and we're just so honored to be able to do what we do and be very successful at it. And the formula is very simple. Just what you see is what you get, folks. I mean, that's really it in a nutshell. Let's go to John in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN, our very first affiliate, by the way. So that's a historic station for us. Hi, John. What's going on?
Good afternoon, Mr. Starnes. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
I wanted to give you the perfect representation of a Democrat. My mother, God rest her soul, was an FDR Democrat. She was a very smart woman. Well-educated, but she raised me and my brothers the whole time we were growing up. She always beat into our brains how terrible men were and how they cheated on their wives and, you know, unfaithful and just on and on and on and on. So when Bill Clinton had his little episode with Monica, I was grown by then, and I asked her, I said, well, what did you think about Clinton? And she said, oh, that wasn't his fault. That was her fault.
Of course.
And I have a sister that is the exact same way. They would vote Democrat if they had horns in the tail. It doesn't matter. They would vote for him.
Those good old yellow dog Democrats. All right, John, great story. We got to leave it there. We're coming up on the break. Thank you for calling in. Wow. It was her fault. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Interesting story out of Florida. The attorney general there announcing plans to eliminate all childhood vaccine mandates. So, no, it's not just COVID. It's any vaccine mandate would be eliminated. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. So Florida is working to phase out all childhood vaccine mandates in the state, building on an effort, reading from the AP story here, by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis to curb vaccine requirements during the China virus pandemic. I added that word. DeSantis announcing Wednesday the creation of a state-level Make America Healthy Again Commission, modeled after the initiatives being pushed by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. On the vaccines, the state attorney general, or surgeon general, rather, cast current requirements in schools and elsewhere as an immoral intrusion on people's rights and parents' ability to make healthy decisions for their children. Some vaccine mandates can be ended by the state health department. Others would require legislative action. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. So it's not just, you know, because some people, I think, have to get what vaccines? I haven't been in school in a long time. But do you have to get what shots you have to get? But they're mandatory. And a lot of people are saying, we got problems with that. The Surgeon General said people have a right to make their own decisions, informed decisions. As for the government, he says they don't have the right to tell you what to put in your body. And they want to take that right away from the government. The state health department can also scrap its own rules for some vaccine mandates. Others would require action by the legislature. He did not specify any particular vaccines, but repeated several times the effort would end, quote, all of them, every last one of them. Florida would become the first state to eliminate so many vaccine mandates. Now, Democrats are enraged. They're saying this could cause outbreaks of preventable disease. They say this is a public health disaster in the making. Meanwhile, the Democratic governors of Washington, Oregon, and California announced Wednesday that they created an alliance to safeguard health policies, contending the Trump administration is politicizing public health decisions. Well, this is sort of rich, considering what they put us all through during the China virus pandemic. I mean, geez, hello. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I remember when I was a kid, and I don't know if you guys remember this, and it may have been just me, but we were, I remember getting some vaccines, but not many. But I do remember, like, back, oh, gosh, this was, like, in the early 70s, I think, when they had measles parties. Do you guys remember that? Did you guys have a measles party where moms would get together, and if you had, like, a little youngster, because measles, highly contagious, and so I think this was back in the 50s when the trend started, is when moms would get together and they would, all the kids would get sick. They would get the measles at the same time, and you get it over with. You have a party, and by the time the party's over, kids are popping out with measles all over the place. So anyway, I'm just curious if you guys ever had one of those measles parties. But it was a big deal back in the day. So anyway, I'm curious, what do you think about Florida eliminating all vaccines, leaving up to moms and dads to decide what is best for their kids? Of course, nowadays, they're saying, oh, well, the measles parties are a horrible idea. I mean, back when we were kids, we were, I mean, I wouldn't say filthy, but we were dirty, right? You go outside and run around and play, and you get scraped up, and what would your mom do? She would tell you to rub dirt on it. Nowadays, you get a little scrape and you're in the ER and you're getting like bandages, and they're putting antiseptic sprays on there. And I mean, they act like, you know, what is it back in the day? Mom said, you know, if there's not a bone sticking out, just put some dirt on it and go back out and play. And that's what we did. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So last night on Newsmax, Congresswoman Mary Miller dropped by. She's weighing in on the efforts by the president to make Chicago safe. Of course, Congresswoman Miller, a great conservative leader in the House, and she's pretty fired up over both the governor, J.B. Pritzker, and Brandon Johnson, the mayor. Let's take a listen.
Congresswoman, good to have you with us this evening. And I just want to cut right to the chase. Should President Trump send the National Guard to Chicago?
Absolutely, because J.B. Pritzker and Mayor Johnson has failed the people there. And I do want to say Chicago is a beautiful city with so much potential and wonderful people. And this is a disaster for the people. J.B. Pritzker and Brandon Johnson are taking sides with thugs, gangbangers, and illegals. And 100% President Trump should go in there. He has a proven record. And the first role of the government and of a good leader is to protect the people. And there have Chicago for 13 consecutive years has led the country, all of the cities. They have had the top murder rate in the country. So, and the Democrats have had control of Chicago for almost 100 years.
Governor Pritzker issuing his response to the president earlier this afternoon. Let's take a listen.
So I want to address the president's unhinged remarks a few minutes ago, begging me to call him. No, I will not call the president, asking him to send troops to Chicago. When did we become a country where it's okay for the U.S. president to insist on national television that a state should call him to beg for anything, especially something we don't want?
Here's what gets me, Congresswoman. I mean, 58 people shot over the weekend. You've got the bodies are piling up there in Chicago, and he has the nerve to call President Trump unhinged for wanting to stop that kind of violence.
The people want it. 8 people died. Chicago has become a war zone. And also, I want to remind everybody that just last year, J.B. Pritzker was completely on board with letting the National Guard come in to protect his buddies at the DNC. Why will he not protect the citizens that live in Chicago, protect the businesses and the visitors? It's absolutely President Trump's responsibility as a leader, which is what he said. He cares about the people, and he's proving it, and he will do what he said. He will be showing up.
I think it's fascinating when you actually listen to the good people in Chicago, the South Side. They've been overrun, and they're begging President Trump to send in the troops. Here's MSNBC's Joe Scarborough. Even they get it, Congresswoman. The people at MSDNC, they get it. Let's listen.
You know, I actually think that J.B. Pritzker should do something radical. I think he should pick up the phone, call the president, and say, you know and I know, you don't have the constitutional authority to deploy the National Guard here and to police my. You can do that in D.C. You can't do that in Chicago. But let's partner up.
Here's what I don't understand, Congresswoman. When you look at the latest AP poll that came out, well over 60% of Democrats believe that crime in these major cities is a major problem. So why are the Democrats so hell-bent, as you said, on standing up for the gangbangers and the thugs?
I don't know. He's also rolled out the red carpet for illegals. And, you know, he was all about passing the Safety Act, which releases criminals, the few that are ever arrested, right back onto the streets. So I guess Marxists like chaos because then they can clamp down and take over. But the people in Illinois need to vote the Democrats out of office. They have done nothing to them. And I would encourage people to boycott legacy media because these people people have gotten in control because legacy media has never made them defend their policies. And so let's have a boycott of legacy media. If people start getting the truth, they will start voting differently. And also, he's basically demanding that people deny reality. I mean, the people there are suffering. The families that have lost loved ones, I can't even imagine the pain. The communities being scared. Businesses cannot operate, and they're leaving. Anybody that can is joining the exodus out of Illinois. I believe a million people have left in recent years, and many big profitable businesses have left and corporations.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Interesting story here. President Trump making an interesting announcement. You know, the guy loves Old Glory. Have you noticed that? This is a man who loves America passionately. That's one of the reasons why you see the guy go over, and we saw this a couple of times back when he was running for the White House. He would literally walk over to the flag on stage, and he would embrace the flag, the red, white, and blue. He would caress the colors of the flag. It was a beautiful thing. You can't fake something like that. He loves Old Glory, which is why he decided to install at his own expense those two giant American flags at the White House on the North Lawn and the South Lawn. We were there in person, and it's just really beautiful to see those two flags flying in the breeze. Giant flags, by the way. So now the president is announcing that he's going to unfurl an even larger flag, and it is expected to be the largest flag in the world for America's 250th birthday celebration. Fox News reporting that the America 250 group is going to create a flag. Are you ready for this? It's going to be taller than the Empire State Building. That's how large this flag is, nearly half the size of the Pentagon. This is unbelievable. Now, all you math nerds out there, that would be 776 feet wide and 1,492 feet long. Wow. We're talking about some serious stars and stripes here. You know who's going to have to iron that, Dylan?
Who's that?
I don't know. You've seen the flags, though. You know, these Congress people, and they're doing their little TV hits, and they got the wrinkled flag behind them.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
That's got to be a high-paying job, someone that gets to iron that flag.
Steam the flag.
12-hour job.
So Guinness, the Guinness World Records people, they actually keep track of all this stuff, and they say the largest flag right now was made in Qatar. Back in 2013, and they're saying the supersized Old Glory is just going to blow that one away. I can't wait to see this. My question is, how big is the pole going to be? So the question now is, where are they going to unfurl the thing? The original thought was, you know what? It's going to be the Washington Mall. It's not going to be the Washington Mall because it's not large enough. So they actually are looking at a couple of other locations. One might be Joint Base Andrews. The other, a NASCAR speedway, maybe Bristol or Talladega, could you imagine? And the other is Lebanon, Kansas, which is, believe it or not, do you know the importance, the significance of Lebanon, Kansas, Dylan?
I don't.
Take a wild guess. It's Kansas.
I don't know what happens in Kansas. I'm sorry. I don't know. Tornadoes?
No. Okay. No, it's the geographic center of the country.
Of course.
So if... You know, we think it's here in the Mid-South, but it's not. It's actually in Kansas.
We can't have everything here.
No, but we got good barbecue.
That's true.
Maybe we should build the largest barbecue pit, like this largest smoker.
I just want to get in that Guinness book.
That would be cool. By the way, this just in, hundreds upon hundreds of military vehicles spotted on a train in the middle of Washington. Many are wondering, where are those military vehicles heading? And some are wondering if it's going to be Kansas. So, Dylan, I got to ask you a question, and we're going to get into this in the next hour. Have you heard of a, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the guy's name Drewski? He's a comedian?
Yes.
You know who I'm talking about.
I know who Drewski is.
So he's a black dude.
Yes, he's black.
Okay. So he's coming under fire for being in white face. And it's not just white face, it's like white body.
White full body.
White full body. And he dressed up pretending to be a redneck, like his version of a redneck, which I know it's pretty darn funny, but it is so grossly offensive.
It may be the most stereotypical outfit, full body makeup. He's even got the sunburns. He's got the mullet.
He's got the farmer's tan.
Yep.
Got the farmer's tan and the boobage hanging out, the male boobage.
Lots of boobage.
And he's got the mullet is brutal.
Yeah.
You know what he doesn't have? The Elvis sideburns.
You missed that part.
So anyway, he went to a NASCAR race. And this is creating a lot of controversy on social media. And people are wondering, are we supposed to be humored here? Or is this supposed to be, are we supposed to be offended? How are we supposed to feel about this black dude dressing up and pretending to be a white guy? Because if it was a white guy pretending to be a black dude, he would have already been burned at the stake. Literally.
Yeah.
They would have, and then they would have thrown him out of the country.
So they're having to decide now whether it's, are we going to, you know, criticize him? Or since he's black, can he get away with this?
Are black people allowed to dress as white people? Are black people, I mean, honestly, it's cultural appropriation at the very least. But this is so grossly racist. We're going to play some of the audio from it. It's really shocking, and we'll get to more of this in the next hour. But anyway, we'll post the video as well. But this guy is now being accused of racism because of the way he portrayed NASCAR fans as white rednecks who, by the way, hate black people. I mean, and what he did, there's a conversation that he did. It's all like kind of like, oh, gosh, who's the guy that there's the comedian that does that all the time? Oh, anyway, we'll talk about it coming up in the next hour. But anyway, the guy really disrespected an actual black NASCAR fan. And people are saying that really crossed the line. So I don't know. We'll post this on our website and you can take a look for yourself. The guy looks like a white dude.
If you've seen his videos before, which I'll give it to him, he's pretty funny, but you cannot tell. You can't tell that he's a black man.
Mm-mm. Can't tell. And he does have the accent down.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, he's no Jasmine Crockett. I'll say that. All right, got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, by the way, head over to toddstearns.com. Get yourself a copy of my latest book, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. You're going to love it. Great book. And it's a great gift book as well. All right, hang tight. Hour 3 coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Dylan, you're going to have to help me out with this because everybody's talking about this story now. I saw it last night, and I forgot to bookmark it, and so we're going to have to talk about it. So there's a comedian. His name was Drewski is his name, right? D-U-R-S-K-I. And he's a black guy. Apparently very funny. He's a funny guy. So you follow his stuff, Dylan?
Yeah, he blew up over COVID. I mean, everybody was just sitting at home, and he would just come out with a video every other week. Very funny.
Okay, so this guy, he's a comedian, and that's what you need to know, yep, first and foremost. So he decided to do a performance in whiteface. Remember, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen, and he would pretend to be, you know, whatever, and go in and fool all these people.
Borat.
Thank you. Yeah, that's Borat. So this is basically the black version of that.
Yeah.
And so this guy dressed up not only in blackface, but he wanted to dress up as a racist NASCAR fan. I mean, that's the whole shtick here. And so the guy, I don't know how he did it. Did he, is that, is he in a suit? Or is that, did he, they literally paint all of his body?
I think it's paint. That had to be a long time. It's a full body makeover.
And he's got, I mean, so the way he's portrayed, he's got a giant mullet. He's got the beard. He's wearing overalls without a T-shirt. He's overweight, and he's got the man boobs hanging out. He's heavily tattooed. He's smoking and drinking and carrying on. And so this is basically he is mocking NASCAR fans. And nobody knows that he's actually a black dude. So he's wandering around a NASCAR track, and he's got the exaggerated Southern accent. He's got the Budweiser, and he's blasting Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. Oh, gosh. And he's palling around with all of the NASCAR fans. And everybody's oblivious. Nobody knows that this is actually a black dude. And there's one moment, and you'll hear this in the video, where he pulls up, he's in his pickup truck, and he pulls up, and there's a true black NASCAR fan, and it was basically, boy, what you doing here? And he spits at the guy. He spits at the black dude. And for me, that's the most disgusting thing that this guy does. But anyway, this is all meant to be very funny. And we're going to play it, and I want to get your take on whether or not this is actually funny. And again, if this was a white guy playing a black person and going into a rap concert, or I don't know, some sort of, you know, maybe downtown Memphis where there's a lot of swagger and soul on the streets, I think all hell would have broken loose, and I think they would have had to run that comedian out of town. If Jerry Seinfeld had done something like this, I think he would have been running. His career would have been destroyed. So anyway, let's take a listen.
Here's the love. Here's the honor. If you can't...
Yeah!
Hey, come up. You need to listen to your nana.
Go ahead, baby.
Hey, me, Ma. How you doing, baby? Hey, you lost, boy?
No. That's the black guy.
What race?
NASCAR race.
You going to NASCAR?
Yes, sir. A little bit.
You ain't lost, is you?
No, I'm good. I'm going to the race, sir.
Sure about that?
Yes, sir.
Find something safe to do, boy.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus. Wow. So, for me, a lot of people are offended by this. I'm not necessarily offended. It's just weird, but I am bothered by the fact that he went after this black NASCAR fan. And so, for the record, white people don't act like this. We don't talk like this. This is the stereotype. This is a caricature. But NASCAR fans aren't, by and large, like this. And I thought it was funny because one of the people who got offended, Dylan, they said the white skin is one thing, but adding the sunburned farmer's tan, that's what really set them over the edge.
It was a little too accurate there, the sunburn.
Now, others are saying, and this is from the New York Post, others said his nakedly racist portrayal of a NASCAR fan was a low blow. Oh, wow. That's what he looks like in real life. So he's like a black dude. He's not like could go either way. He's not like Obama, right?
No, he's pretty obvious.
There's no white mama in the mix here. If we're allowed to say that. He's a black dude.
Yeah. So but you can't tell at all.
You cannot tell. That's what's funny. He actually had a pretty good white accent.
Yeah.
Better than Hillary Clinton. I'm Todd Noe. Some person, one critic says, I'm conflicted because it's funny, but also I kind of hate to see it. It's hard enough as is trying to tell people that you're watching NASCAR without them either giving you the blank or just judging the blank out of you. Another said, this is exactly the stereotype the sport needs to get away from. No hate to Drewski. He just does funny stuff, but it's mind-boggling that we have a driver involved with something like this. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, ladies and gentlemen. Are you bothered by this? Me personally, I don't really care except for the fact that he targeted the black guy. And that's what bothers me here is that NASCAR fans are not racist. They're just not. They're good people. But I get it. This is comedy and whatever. Still, if you were to do the exact same, let's just say that you were a white guy going in to do a Tyler Perry movie and you were dressing up as like a black person trying to get a role in a Tyler Perry Madea movie. Your career would be destroyed. I'm right. Is there anybody who disagrees with my take on that? And maybe that's what I'm more bothered by here is just the double standard. But do NASCAR fans really? I mean, is that the quintessential NASCAR fan? I haven't seen a NASCAR fan with a mullet. Dylan, I mean, have you? You're from Mississippi.
No, they've
wearing mullets.
Well, yes, they do in Mississippi, but I think they've sharpened up their look. You know, there's NASCAR fans all over anyway.
Right. I mean, they come in all shapes and flavors. I mean,
I'll just say I don't think Robert Downey Jr. could do Tropic Thunder again. We just can't do that anymore. No. But somehow he can get away with this. Probably.
Yeah, it's okay for black people to do it, but the white people can't. So, you know, and this is not the first time. Who was it that did the White Chicks movie? Remember that? Yeah.
Terry Crews.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy, can't remember.
Yeah. Sorry. They dressed up like white chicks.
Yeah, they were white chicks.
Mm-hmm. White face. Mm-hmm. But that's okay because they're black. So I understand there's one set of rules for black people and the rest of us have to live by another whole set of rules. I get that, but still, this seems to me to be a little bit of a stretch. The farmer's tan's killing me. Whoever the makeup artist is deserves like an Academy Award because that's pretty impressive. I wonder if those are his real boobies.
I think those are real.
Really? Oh, wow.
He's a large guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a big one. Yeah, he's a big one. I would say he probably needs a larger size overall.
Yeah.
If I'm just saying that. Wow, fascinating. Okay, 901-260-5926. I don't want to dwell on it, but everybody's talking about it. I'm not sure how I feel about this. Maybe I'm just conflicted. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I just love how one person is offended that he's taking advantage of the farmer's tan. That's all. My response to that critic would be, well, if you think that tan is something, wait till you see later. All right, gotta take a break. We'll be right back. All right, so you got these three super-sized heifers, and they're driving around Houston, and maybe, are they listening to Patriot Talk 920? I don't know. Maybe, if so, maybe they could call in. So these three heifers, these big old large marches, they're driving around Taco Bell's. This is the allegation. They posted video on social media, and they're driving around. I would say that all three of them combined, I would say probably tipping the scales at maybe close to 1,000 pounds. They're at least 300 pounds apiece, at least. But anyway, they're stopping by all these Taco Bells, and they're on video consuming something called a stacker. Now, I haven't been to Taco Bell in ages. When you reach a certain age, you know, there's some things you just can't be eating anymore, and that's one of them. But I remember back in the day, they had, like, the burritos, the gorditas, and the tacos, and the taco salad. I don't know if they still do that. I'm not familiar with the Stackers. Dylan, they ordered over $150 worth of Stackers.
Oh my gosh.
And according to the video here, they're like boasting as they're chowing down. One of them said they were working on their 17th Stacker, and they're doing this. They're eating in the car. That just disgusts me.
Must smell terrible.
My God. I guarantee you there are giant holes in the seats.
Roll the windows down.
Oh, jeez.
TLC is calling their phones right now.
Get some Febreze in there. Good Lord. Don't light a match.
Oh, God.
That's terrible. So anyway, one of them was like eating 17. Another said they were like 14 or 15. And then the skinnier one was only down to like number 12.
She's got to catch up.
She's got to. And so, but here's the thing. They're boasting that they paid for all of this using their SNAP EBT cards. So the taxpayers of America have been destroying their digestive systems and possibly blowing out their colons. Oh, terrible. So anyway, so the welfare recipients, all three of these gals claim to be getting welfare. And it turns out that you can use SNAP cards at some Taco Bell locations. And I'm wondering if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is aware of this, because that's got to stop. And I'm just going to say this. I don't believe in climate change, but if those women are eating a couple of $100 worth of Taco Bell, they're blowing a hole in the freaking ozone. I'm just saying. Get ready for some global warming in Houston. And I feel bad. I feel bad for the Patriot Talk 920 listeners that might be downwind from this crowd. That is an ill wind blowing. I'm just telling you. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's just terrible. How did they eat that? How do you eat that? Dylan, are you okay?
I'm recovering from what you just said.
This cannot be healthy.
It's a lot of Stackers.
How in the world can you 17 Stackers? I mean, they're just scarfing down. It's like the guy at Coney Island.
And then Billy Chestnut. He's probably calling their number.
Yeah, but he's not big. I mean, he's a pretty skinny guy compared to these gals. This is just shocking. But for me, I'm just, again, why would you be able to use an EBT card at like McDonald's or Taco Bell or any other place like that? Seems to me if you're on SNAP, if you're on government assistance, man, it is like the bare necessities. And again, if you're really that infatuated with refried beans, go and get yourself a big old, you can buy them at Kroger. You can make them yourself. Good Lord. Can you buy Febreze, though, on the EBT card? That's what I want to know. That's frightening, ladies and gentlemen, just frightening. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz catching fire. As a matter of fact, Scott Jennings over at CNN called him a piece of excrement. The governor telling supporters that he's disappointed that President Trump did not die. I mean, it's so disgusting. Take a listen, cut 7.
You get up in the morning and you doom scroll through things. And although I will say this, the last few days you woke up thinking there might be news. just saying. There will be news sometime, just so you know. There will be news.
Wow. It's disgusting. So, meantime, and by the way, Walz is not the only one. He is actually representative of the average Democrat in Minnesota. So, the vice president and the second lady are in Minneapolis right now, and they're paying their respects, and they just laid flowers outside Annunciation Church where the transgender terrorist shot up the school, killed 2 kids, injured many others. And there are literally people, liberals, outside heckling the vice president outside of the church, shouting at him, saying, "You're a coward, do better." This is a Democrat Party. These people are evil, just evil. Now, when you've got the governor of Minnesota out there, saying, well, we just, folks, it's going to happen one day, but, you know, unfortunately, it didn't happen over the weekend, so Trump is still with us. That is evil. And for an elected governor to say something like that is just beyond me. But this is who these people really are, and you get to see that. This is the party of death. They have no respect for life, and we've known that for a long time, which is why they're the pro-abortion party. These are very bad, very evil people. And if you're a Democrat, I don't see how you can stay silent when your own party is out there heckling a vice president and second lady at a church, for crying out loud. At a church. One of these little thuggets outside says, holding a sign, says, this is your job, protect our kids. We're trying to. But when you are out there affirming a very dangerous mental condition as normal, you're the one that's putting kids in danger and everybody else in danger. These transgender terrorists are nothing to play around with, folks. These are very dangerous, unhinged people. So anyway, good for the vice president and the second lady. She just looks absolutely stunning. Usha is her name, Usha Vance. And so glad that they are in Minnesota today. And no doubt of great comfort to the families of the children who were injured and to the families of those who were lost in this terrible, terrible attack. An attack, by the way, that could have been prevented. And I pointed this out on my Newsmax show the other night. Just remember, the transgender terrorist, according to his own writings, did not want to be transgender, did not want to be, tried to turn away, but his family was affirming. So there you go. This whole thing could have been prevented. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I was so glad that I joined up at the Association of Mature American Citizens. I wasn't sure I met the criteria, but apparently I'm mature enough. As a matter of fact, you only need to be 18 years old. AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, they're the conservative alternative to AARP, but they're also for young people as well. So anybody over the age of 18 can join and take advantage of all the incredible benefits and discounts on travel and insurance, prescription drugs, exclusive member resources. It's pretty remarkable. And they're going to throw in a subscription to the AMAC magazine. Now, you would think, okay, that all sounds great. What are we talking, $20, $30 a month? Nope. No siree. Only $1.20 a month. That is with a five-year membership, $1.20 a month. And you get the discounts on travel, insurance, prescription drugs, and all the other great, great benefits, and you're going to get the magazine as well, and you're going to be supporting AMAC's mission to stand up for our freedom and defend our freedom. So I want you to go and check them out. They set up a special website just for our listeners, amac.us/Starnes. That's amac.us/Starnes, and join the fight to keep America strong. You're going to love it, folks, so be sure to head over there. All right, yesterday on Newsmax, Congressman David Kustoff dropped by. We had a pretty long conversation about safety, the National Guard, and also the looming government shutdown. Let's take a listen.
Congressman, good to have you with us today. The citizens there in Memphis feel like they've been deserted. They want Governor Lee to send in the National Guard. Instead, he sends our troops to Washington. What do you tell the good people there in Memphis?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on today, Todd. I would look at Washington, D.C., where I am today. I flew into Washington, D.C. It's a much different and safer city than it was just a few weeks ago before President Trump sent in the National Guard to clean things up. This has become a very violent city in Washington, D.C. You cited Memphis, where we live, and Chicago, where the president apparently will be sending in National Guard. I think people in these violent cities want help, whether it's National Guard, whether it's FBI agents or other federal resources. And I know that recently you raised that issue with President Trump on your show. It seemed to me that may have been first impression when you raised the issue to President Trump about Memphis, and it's something that it appears that he's considering doing.
Yesterday, Labor Day for the country. In Memphis, it was what they call 901 Day, September 1st, also 901, the area code here. And Mayor Young, Paul Young, a Democrat, said spirits were high. This is his quote, disregarding all the negativity you hear about Memphis. It seems real safe. Everybody seems like they're having a good time. It's children out here. It's a bunch of families. It's a vibe. But in reality, there were street fights, gunfire, blood on the sidewalks, businesses vandalized. Where is the disconnect here with the leadership of Memphis and reality boots on the ground?
Well, you know, they say in Memphis that crime is coming down, that the crime stats are coming down. The crime is still way too high.
Do you believe that, though?
It's also,
do you believe that?
Pardon me. Well, I think it's, you know, people, it's also what people perceive, Todd, and they a lot of people in Memphis do not perceive that crime is any better than it was 2 or 3 years ago. So, I mean, look, I'm a former United States attorney. I was a presidential nominee. I think we've got good local and state and federal law enforcement in Memphis, but we need more. We need more police officers. We need more sheriff's deputies. We need more federal agents. And if the president decides that he will send in the National Guard, then we're all going to support him. Again, I'm not sure he realized the Memphis issue until you raised it with him a week or so ago. So we'll have to see what he wants to do. It looks like to me that Chicago is first and foremost on his mind. But we know where Memphis ranks on the crime list. I will say that Nashville also ranks pretty high on these national crime lists, and maybe you ought to look at sending the National Guard to Nashville.
Right.
If he also sends it to Memphis as well.
Congressman, you guys are back up in D.C. now. What is going to be the most pressing issue for you guys as we move towards this, this again, possible government shutdown looming?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Todd. I mean, we worked so hard these first 6 and 7 months of the year on the One Big Beautiful Bill that President Trump's main and top priority. We got that done on July 3rd, and I was honored to be at the signing ceremony at the White House on July the 4th. But now it's spending. We've got to rein in spending. We need to make sure that that we keep the government functioning. But at the same time, we've got to rein in this massive federal spending. There's a plan to do that. We're going to work hand in hand with the White House. But we also know that we're on the clock, and we're cognizant of that as well.
And, of course, codifying a lot of these presidential executive orders that will go away once President Trump leaves office. Is that going to be a big issue for you guys as well?
You know, it is a big issue. The president has issued a number of executive orders. We have, in fact, codified a number of those. I will say it's easier for him to sign that executive order than it is to get 218 of my colleagues on the same page on any given day. And I'll note that we've got a slim majority, even slimmer with the resignation of one of our own from Tennessee just a few weeks ago. But we understand the mandate that the people gave us in November. They started at the top with Donald Trump. And I'm absolutely convinced, Todd, that had President Trump not been on the ballot, we probably would not have flipped the Senate. We might have not kept the House. So we're looking to the president for direction. We're going to follow his lead. And I'm proud to serve under President Trump here in the United States House of Representatives.
All right. By the way, Congressman Andy Ogles out of the Nashville area now calling for the National Guard to be sent to Music City, USA. It is getting just as bad in Nashville, which, again, is controlled by a Democrat mayor. And people are really getting nervous about the rise in crime because there are so many more tourists in the Nashville area. So it's happening all over the place. So this is happening as we speak. LaMonica McIver, she is a congresswoman from New Jersey, a Democrat. And you might remember that she assaulted federal law enforcement officers outside an ICE facility, and she was arrested. Now, today, Republicans are going to be censuring her. We will let you know when that vote happens. We understand they were reading the resolution and Democrats were pitching a hissy fit, literally booing and screaming as Republicans moved to censure McIver. So we'll keep you updated on that. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, we have some breaking news to share with you, and it's not good. It's just not good. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the reasons I love doing this radio show is I don't ever have to pay for therapy. I work out all of my issues on air, which is great for me, probably not so good for the staff, but they're young. They'll persevere. They can handle it. So, look, we told you about the effort to censure LaMonica McIver. She's the New Jersey Democrat who attacked ICE agents outside an immigration detention center. And that happened in May. And the plan was our good friend Congressman Clay Higgins out of Louisiana forced the vote to reprimand McIver, remove her from the House Homeland Security Committee. I mean, the woman has no business being on the House Homeland Security Committee. So they had a vote today in the House. And again, Dylan, who has the majority in the House of Representatives? Which party, the Republicans or the Democrats?
Republicans.
Even Dylan knows that the Republicans have the majority. And what happens when you have the majority in the House, Dylan?
You get more of the votes?
You get stuff done.
Yes.
Your side has the votes to move stuff through. Well, I have to tell you that five Republicans sided with every Democrat, and they opted not to censure Congresswoman McIver. This is insane. You had five Republicans vote with the Democrats, and then you had two Republicans who voted present. They're all cowards, every single one of them. And I hope and pray these people are voted out of office in the midterm elections. Every single one of them should face a primary voter. This angers me because this is what Donald Trump has been having to deal with. A bunch of cowardly Republicans, and I'm going to name names. Congressman Don Bacon and Mike Flood, both of Nebraska, Dave Joyce and Mike Turner of Ohio, Dave Valadao of California. Those are your five who voted no. The other two, Andrew Garabino of New York and Nathaniel Moron of Texas, and they voted present. What, you know what, guys? You people, no man parts at all, these two. No man parts at all. You don't even have the courage to vote your convictions. You're, really? That's despicable. But this is what Trump's been dealing with. Can you imagine, though, you're going down the roll call. They're like, Congressman Bacon, no. Okay, you know what? I don't respect it, but I respect that you at least have the courage to vote no, you sicko Democrat piece of garbage. Okay, I get that. But then you come along to the gentleman from New York.
I'm just going to vote present.
What's your name?
Andrew Garabino. I have no man parts, which is why I talk like this.
I mean, dude, you're a dude. Really? Come on, dude. Vote like a dude. Dude, what's wrong with you? So there you have it. And all of this goes back to the incident in Newark, New Jersey, where you had McIver, this other chick, Bonnie Watson Coleman, and Rob Menendez, and they were trying to storm an ICE facility. By the way, what about the poor ICE agents who got beat up? What about them? McIver, she's a big gal. I mean, you know, she... God forbid she slips and falls. Somebody's getting flattened like a pancake. Unbelievable. McIver said she did nothing wrong. She says that an unnecessary, reckless, and disproportionate escalation by federal agents led to chaos and a serious scuffle. You know, here's the deal, Miss McIver. When a federal agent tells you to do something, you do it. When he tells you to back away, you back away. And if you don't, well, sorry. You get what's coming to you. Well, not anymore, thanks to the Republicans. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926. Ladies and gentlemen, are you having a problem getting a job? If you are, it could be possibly not your resume, but your name. This coming from Newsweek, Melissa Fleur Afshar is the author. She's these names. Job candidates with names that sound smooth and soft may have a surprising edge in the hiring process. This is according to a brand new study from Carleton University. So the researchers there found that people with smooth names are more likely to get jobs. And those of you with more spiky names, like Greta or Tate or Krista, you guys may not be able to get a job. Well, Krista, we wanted to hire you, and your resume looks phenomenal, and no doubt you're overly qualified, but, man, your name is really grating. It just kind of gets on our nerves. Researchers also found that people with names like Renee, Liam, or Noel have soft, flowing consonants and are more likely to be favored. Is this true? Dylan.
There's no way this is true.
Cassie. Oh, wow.
Todd. Dylan.
Yeah. Liam. I'm not hiring a Liam. Sorry, Liams. The study is the latest to show how seemingly irrelevant cues, such as the way a candidate's name sounds, can shape perceptions during hiring. All right. Hey, welcome to the Todd Stern Show. We're looking for a call screener. What's your name? Osama Bin Laden. Yeah, probably going to take a pass. Good luck to you, Osama. This is the Todd Stern Show. Osama speaking. Speak your name now. I blow you up. I told you to stay on target. I know where you live. Too much.
I'm surprised we're still on the air.
I am too.
Sorry, Osama.
You know what's going to happen now? No, we're going to get a complaint. Somebody's going to complain. They're going to say we applied for a job. My name was Osama, and I didn't get hired. And I think I know why. In the study, researchers crafted job advertisements that called for a candidate high in one of six personality factors, including honesty, humility, emotionality, extroversion, agreeableness, and openness to experience. Study participants were asked to choose who to hire for each job, selecting between pairs of candidates whose names were crafted to emphasize either sonorant consonants or voiceless stop consonants. It's fascinating here. Or it could have been, and just hear me on this, what if though, you had people in the survey and maybe they had a bad relationship with a Tate or a Krista, and maybe the reason they didn't choose those names had nothing to do with how spiky the consonants were, but everything to do with they were, lousy boyfriends or girlfriends. Did they take that in consideration? Researchers underlined the Booba Kiki effect. In this case, people from various languages and cultures associate boba, I said booba, it's boba, with round shapes, and kiki with sharp, spiky shapes. I know, I like a kiki. Kiki? The effect appears to extend to real names. This is ridiculous. They also assigned those names different personality traits despite no actual differences being found in personality data from over 1,000 individuals. In the study, this was reflected by the use of pairs of names like Molly and Katie or Liam and Tate. People preferred the Mollies and the Liams. Sounds like some people were taking Molly, you know what I mean? So there you have it. So if you're unemployable, you might want to blame your parents and get a name change. That's pretty much the gist of that story. I guess I could have saved some time here. All right. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on the Todd Starnes Show, we're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of great guests coming up, including Senator Roger Marshall, who created some hysteria today by his comments regarding monkeypox. We got to ask him about that. Also, Congressman Mark Harris is going to drop by as well. Folks, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hey, head over to our website, toddstearns.com. We have a lot of great content for you there. Get out there. Have a good one, everybody. You be good, America.